The Supreme Court today reversed decades of precedent in higher education, striking down race-conscious admissions policies at the University of North Carolina and Harvard. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion in the 6-3 ruling, saying the affirmative action programs lack measurable objectives and, quote, involve racial stereotyping. Critics of the ruling fear it will reduce Black and Hispanic students at selective universities across the country.
And now universities have to figure out how this will impact them. Allison Byerly is president of Carleton College. That's a private liberal arts college in Northfield, Minnesota. They were part of an amicus brief in favor of affirmative action. President Byerly, this probably wasn't a surprise given the makeup of the court, but what was your reaction?
Well, as you say, it wasn't a surprise. It's the kind of ruling that you would call very disappointing, except we're not disappointed. It's the ruling that we were led to expect by the conversation that's led up to it. It reinforces a sense that college admissions is about making individual judgments about individual students, as opposed to recognizing it's about putting together a diverse community where all students learn from each other and where their differences are actually part of the learning experience. You know, so much of the conversation has been about this sense that somehow students are academically ranked, and if anything else factors into the equation, there's been some element of unfairness. But really, the admissions process is about making distinctions among a range of students on a range of parameters in addition to academics. And so to say that we distinguish between students for a variety of reasons is not really the same as saying we discriminate against some students by selecting one student over another. And I do feel that the fundamental misunderstanding here is in framing as discriminatory the kinds of decisions that we make in order to create a well-rounded and diverse community that's a good learning environment for our students.
Well, today the majority argued that the goals of diversity are commendable, but not sufficiently coherent for purposes of strict scrutiny. I think that means schools haven't demonstrated the positive result of affirmative action. It sounds like you're saying you can.
Absolutely. There are positive results both for the students who benefit from the education individually, but more importantly, for the learning experience of students. And I think any of us who have spent time in a classroom can see that. There are a number of ways in which the learning experience is impacted not just by what the professor chooses to present in the classroom, but by how students respond, how they discuss a topic, how they bring their own life experiences to the conversation. And all of the diversity that is part of a well-rounded, you know, college body, I think, impacts each student's education and the way in which they understand the material.
Well, but Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote the opinion, seems to be saying there are other ways to get to what you're talking about. He says the opinion doesn't stop universities from considering an applicant's discussion of how race affected their lives. It sounds like he's saying, no, you can't check off a box anymore, but, wink, wink, you can write a college essay.
Well, it's certainly the case that we use a wide variety of pieces of information to get to know our students. And at a college like Carleton, you know, small liberal arts college, we have a very holistic admissions process. We rely heavily on essays and recommendations and opportunities often to interview applicants. So there are lots of ways in which we get to know the students and know their life experiences. You know, what would be unfortunate is if some students had opportunities that others don't to present that side of themselves. And, you know, that's certainly one of the ways in which we expect to continue to understand our students as holistically as possible, you know, through the admissions process. It remains to be seen exactly how that plays out. But, you know, one of my worries is that students who are savvy enough to think about how they might convey aspects of their identity could have an advantage over students, you know, who just don't think along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, we would prefer to really just be able to gather as much information, you know, equitably across the board about all students and use that appropriately.
We're going to be talking about this through the program today, but what do you do now? Are you changing your forms? Are kids in the middle of applying for things? What's going on now in just the minute we have?
I think all of us are recognizing that, you know, we'll have to look carefully at our processes, but we rely very heavily on recruitment, you know, in trying to build a diverse class. I think the fact that we're already emphasizing socioeconomic diversity, we give very generous financial aid. 56% of our students get need-based financial aid. So working even harder to identify students from a range of backgrounds who would benefit from financial support is one way to ensure diversity. We've worked hard on including a lot more first-generation students. There's some overlap there between students of color and first-generation students. And we work with a lot of community-based organizations that help us to identify talented students and bring them into the pipeline. And so we do think that outreach to specific geographic regions, you know, reliance on community-based organizations and a focus on other forms of diversity will be helpful.
Allison Byerly, president of Carleton College, thank you so much.
Thank you.